8 o'clock, Rise and Shine Pile. Good morning. It is Cake in the driver's seat, Buffalo Mark in the sidecar, his hair wisting wistfully in the wind, more or less. Well, that could just be the fan. Or do you have the fan on in there?
Yes.
It gets toasty in there sometimes.
It does.
And I mean, I'm already, you know, as a gentleman of extra girth, hefty carriage, if you will, I already get a little toasty, but just on my own. I don't need the confined space that is the Team Sports Network studio. From the Bozarth Miller Chevrolet Buick Studios, the most trusted name in automobiles, this is the Jim Davis Show. It is a practice squad edition Friday with Cake and Buffalo Mark. Rio and myself will be in for a B team on Monday. Jim, just taking some days off. Burn him while he's got him.
Right. Well, he's got, what, like 400 days, so.
That's a little bit of an exaggeration. But
only slightly.
Only slightly, yes.
Always watching.
Always listening.
Right.
Online at theteam1340.com. Mobile app as well. Smart speaker skills. You can find it all. Links to all of it at the website, theteam1340.com. Let's go back to the Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line, the text line, 970-242-1340 from middle school Mike. Constantly losing. The numbers Teddy puts up are in garbage time. Denver's lucky they weren't blown out in the first half. Locke's first year, he got hurt. The second year, there was COVID that shut his preseason work down, and this year he played well, did what you asked him to, and he loses the job for a guy that has a low ceiling. Is Locke the answer? We don't know, but they have ruined any chance of him being that in Denver. Confidence is shot, and if I were him, I wouldn't want to be in Denver after my contract was up. When I said this team goes 7-10 if they start Bridgewater, I was wrong. No chance this team wins four more games. I don't think, as much as I would love to be in the pool of misery, wallowing in my own self-sorrow and say, the Broncos are never going to win again, I don't think that's true. I think they have a fighting chance against the Washington football team next week. But I also just don't know. I thought they had a fighting chance against the Browns, and they did. I don't know. As for the whole Drew Locke mess, I really don't want to get into any conversation about should they have put Drew Locke in or not. Probably yes, and you're going to hear Dave Logan coming up here in just a second. He asked that question, and you brought it up earlier, Mark. You said that with the injuries to Bridgewater, which, let's face it, have been plenty.
Right.
He had the concussion. He's got the foot thing. He's got the quad thing. He was noticeably limping this week after the Raiders game. Yeah, maybe you put in Drew Locke, but here's the deal, and I ask the question again. Does Drew Locke put you in a situation where he goes on a long, sustained touchdown drive to get you within three? I don't think they do. I don't think he does. I think the reason he didn't win the starting quarterback job this year was because he didn't win it. I'm sorry, middle school Mike, I have to disagree with you. I don't think he did enough to earn. I don't think he did what he had to do. I think he played well enough to be a strong backup, but a strong backup behind a guy that is unfortunately now going to be known as a career backup in Teddy Bridgewater. I will agree with you, yes. I think his confidence is probably at this point really, really banged up. And I wouldn't want to be him in Denver either. Not at this rate. The guy that put the most faith in you to be the starting quarterback is now no longer the general manager. The current general manager, he brought in a new guy in a trade for, frankly, pennies. I mean, Carolina, and I think it was Mike that mentioned this earlier on the text line, Carolina is essentially paying Bridgewater to not play for them.
Right.
That is a steal as a general manager that I still have to give props to. And this team started 3-0. And I again say, Teddy Bridgewater is not the reason the Broncos have lost four in a row. Has he at times been, I won't say problematic, I won't even say a hindrance. Has he been a guy that's going to outright win a game for you? No. But has he been the reason they've lost? I can't honestly, in good consciousness, say that he is in any way to necessarily full-on blame for these past few losses. And particularly last night, when in the second half, the Broncos got two late touchdown drives to get within 3 points with 5 minutes to go. I cannot stress enough how long that is. If you have a defense that supposedly on paper is one of the top 10 defenses in the league, for 5 minutes of the clock, your defense's job is one thing and one thing only. Get off the field, stop them on third down, put them in fourth down, force them to punt, get the ball back. If I recall, and I'm going to have to look this up, but I am fairly certain Cleveland did not punt last night. I'm going to double check that. But I am all but certain Cleveland did not punt last night. I'm going to take a look at the stats here. Defense, kick returns, punt return. So they did. Okay, so 3 punts, 155 yards and inside. So only 3 times in the whole game. And not, by the way, when it mattered. Not at all when it mattered. In the fourth quarter, the Broncos defense, which again, I will remind you, highest paid secondary in the league. Yes, you're down. The entire starting linebacking. I just saw a tweet here that said, the scheme is a 3-4 defense. Chubb, Miller, Johnson, and Jewell all out. The entire starting linebacking core out with injury. That will be a problem. That's going to hurt any team. But the fact that you let an undrafted running back, guy who's not played in so long, with two of their starting tackles just gone, they ran roughshod over the Broncos the other day. The fact that they could not stop the run yesterday, I think is, again, we talked earlier, if we put up a pie chart as a percentage of blame for who was responsible for the Broncos' loss, a lack of rush defense is, I think, at least 65% to blame. You pin another 30% on first half play calling for Pat Shurmur and a lack of a run game. 5%, take your pick. Bridgewater looked hurt. Offensive line wasn't doing a great job. Penalties, not creating turnovers, turning the ball over themselves, you name it. There's a 5%, just a pick'em of problems that Denver had last night that were part of the larger scale of problems they had, wherein they were just not able to get the win. Rush defense was a big, I think, perhaps the biggest factor. Like I said, 65%, I think, of the blame is on the Broncos not getting off the field, stopping the run. D'Ernest Johnson had 146 yards of rushing offense on 22 carries, 6.6 yards per carry. That is inexcusable. That is inexcusable. Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line 970-242-1340. Who do we have?
That would be George.
George, good morning, George. How are you today, sir?
I'm doing great, guys. How are you?
Good. What's on your mind today?
The issue, in my opinion, with Denver, and, I mean, you have the highest-paid defense in the NFL. The highest-paid defense in the NFL. They probably missed 25 to 30 tackles last night, and I'm not exaggerating that.
I'd agree.
25 to 30 tackles. Ronald Darby, you know, he can't cover anybody. And the biggest issue, in my opinion, is you lost Josie Jewell and replaced him with Sternhead. And Sternhead can run, but he's not a downhill run first, get off blocks linebacker. He's awful against the run. If you watch him, he's making tackles 9-10 yards down the field. That's not what you want your Mike linebacker to do.
No.
It wasn't as bad when they had A.J. Johnson in there, but then A.J. Johnson got hurt, and then you have Micah Kizer. So the defensive line's not getting off run blocks. They're just getting stuck on them. So the issue is you gave up 146 yards rushing to Case Keenum with no downhill presence and a third-string running back. That's the issue. You're not going to win football games that way. So you can talk about anything else you want, but at the end of the day, you gave up a five-minute drive to a third-string running back in Case Keenum, and it didn't matter what you did. You couldn't stop him. So, you know, if you don't play defense, you don't win games in the NFL. And give credit to the Browns coach. I mean, Stefanski came out and said, we want the ball, took advantage of the aggression on the Broncos' defense, ran a couple screens, got them on their heels, then ran the ball in, had all the momentum. Man, he just out-coached Fangio from the start. So
yep.
It is what it is.
Completely agree with you, George. Completely agree. Anything else today?
No, guys.
All right, okay. George, you take care. Thanks for your call today, sir.
Yeah.
A very resounding at the end there. Thanks, George.
All right, so Cleveland comes out, and you know what? It needs to be noted that they average 170 yards a game on the ground.
But that's with Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb.
Right.
And a healthy offensive line. And Baker Mayfield, who is relatively athletic himself.
Right. No, they didn't.
George said it. I think he said it better than I did. Because George and I are largely on the same page here. That the rush defense, passing defense, 21 of 33, that's about 64% completion. That's a little bit below what you would expect an NFL starting quarterback. A backup, that's probably about par for the course. 199 yards. One touchdown. Doesn't turn the ball over, though. So the passing defense, secondary was awful. But the rush defense, giving up almost 150 yards to an undrafted free agent running back. And look, Broncos love their undrafted free agents. We know that to be true. Rod Smith, Chris Harris Jr., guys like that. We love them. We respect him. We understand that it's hard to get a job in the NFL, and it's really hard if you're undrafted. Kudos to Dearness Johnson. He did a phenomenal job. His number was called, and he answered. You know who didn't answer yesterday? The Broncos. Their number was called. Von Miller, I saw the tweet from our friend and colleague, Cody Rourke, who is on the show with us every Wednesday, Locked On Broncos podcast host. He was rewatching the game this morning and tweeting about it, and he said that Von Miller, when he was in there, played his butt off. And he did. And if I said anything in the first hour that may have said otherwise, I didn't mean it that way. His comments, Von Miller's, after the game, wherein he said, and we don't have the clip because, one, I'd have to edit it, and two, I just couldn't find it, but basically, he said, my pride is hurt more than my ankle was because I talked a lot of trash, except he didn't say the word trash, said something else. I talked a lot of trash before the game and it didn't pan out. And again, he got hurt. The trainers didn't let him go back in the game. He felt a little too tender in his ankle. They said it's really not worth when you're out there, you could do more damage. This, by the way, and I don't blame them because we lost Von Miller to an ankle injury right at the end of training camp last year that kept him out for the whole year. So I don't blame them for being overly cautious on his ankle. This is a linebacking core that is already completely decimated by injuries. Chick-fil-A breakfast team phone line from Texter Joel today. Oh, no. I don't want to say that. Broncos should come in and play Grand Junction High School. Maybe they'll get a win, and they both have. Now, see, okay.
We don't take pot shots at our school coaching staffs.
No, we don't, especially in a first-year coaching staff that's trying to rebuild a program that's had some. And look, they have the right philosophy. They just need They just need to get guys to buy into it. So we're not gonna say that. Another mic today. Silver lining: Broncos are probably off the hook for the bad and the ugly on Monday morning. I don't know. This one stinks pretty bad. You'll find out Monday morning with Rio Van Gilder and myself as we do B-Team.
Right.
B-Team, Buckeye Boy and myself on Monday for the Jim Davis Show. Let's do this. Let's hear from Vic Fangio. So this was after the game last night. Dave Logan talking to Vic Fangio in the locker room after the Broncos lost. This is Coach Fangio with Dave Logan.
In the locker room with the head coach, Vic Fangio. Vic, it's Dave Logan. Not the outcome I know that you wanted. And you know, the start of the game, and then the Browns go 75 yards in five plays. It seemed like defensively, at least early in that game, you had a real hard time just sort of getting some traction and getting them shut down, stopping them from moving the ball at all.
Yeah, they hit a boot on us first play that, you know, we had, were schooled on. We just didn't play it well enough. Then they hit a tight end screen for a big play, and that got us back. That put him in the red zone, and you're right, we had a bad first series.
You know, you look at the first half, and you give the offense credit for coming back in the second half, but I think they had 76 yards of offense in that first half. They just couldn't get, speaking of the offense, they couldn't get anything going for the first four possessions. You go three and out of those first four. What did you see from the sideline that maybe you didn't like other than the three and outs?
Well, much of the same. We just didn't get a rhythm going, either running the ball or in our passing game. And, you know, when you're struggling like that, the quickest way to get out of it is to convert some third downs. And we didn't do that either. So, you know, we just didn't play well. Give them credit. But it's a combination of our play and them playing good.
Last thought. You open the second half. You're down 10-0. The offense showed up finally. A 79-yard drive in 13 plays. It makes it 10-7. And it looked like you sort of climb right back in it. And yet the Browns on the next possession, they're able to go 75 yards in 13 plays, and all of a sudden that three-point lead bursts right back to 10.
Yeah, we need to answer that better defensively. They hit the key fourth down there. We were in good shape. We just couldn't get the quarterback down with the rush, and give them credit.
Let me ask you this, a tough question. I mean, when teams lose games, teams look at stuff and they at times will make changes. Did you at any point or at this point did you think about making a change at quarterback?
I did not.
Okay. All right, Vic, thanks, and we'll talk to you this week.
Okay.
That's Vic Fangio in the locker room.
All right, that's Dave Logan with the aforementioned Vic Fangio, head coach of the Broncos, and he asked the question. It was an honest question. You brought it up earlier, Mark, about the idea of if Bridgewater is playing too hurt, do you make the change? And
right.
Vic was asked a question, an honest question. He said, no, didn't think of it. And he said a lot of the same stuff. Literally the words, a lot of the same things. And also saying a lot of the same things he said before.
Right.
Didn't play well enough. Didn't do this.
Yeah, we didn't stink. Yeah, we stink. Yeah, we were bad. Yeah, that didn't work out. Yeah, we stunk on that play, too. That's not exactly inspiring confidence.
And it goes back to a question that is being posed right now, and it's an honest question. What does George Payton in his first year as general manager do about it? Is he going to let this one ride out to the end of the year? Is he going to... Because I think he needs to see what he has. But, I mean, through seven games already, does he already know what he has, and is he ready to move on from it? Right. I don't know. I just don't know. I'm so at a loss for the words as far as how to describe how bad this loss. Because it's one thing to lose. It's another thing when they get into a position, they're only down three. All they need is one defensive stop late in the fourth quarter with 5 minutes to go. Can't do it. Cannot do it. Cost them the game.
So moving forward now, obviously the rest of the NFL has got a template on how to beat this Broncos team. Injuries notwithstanding.
Right.
But every team in the league deals with that. So just what the hell do the Broncos do now?
Well, it's a fair question. You mentioned blueprint. You're right. Every team in the league has, and I think particularly against the offense. I called it. Watch the first series. Run, 2 yard gain. Run, 1 yard gain. Pass, crossing route, short, punt. Three and out.
Right.
Run, pass. For the first two drives and then.
And then completely
pass, pass. Yeah. Short, incomplete. Screens. This was the worst one for me. When they got to second and 15 after a false start or something where it was first and 15. Ran a screen to the left. Second and 15. Ran a screen to the left. Third and probably 12. What do you do? There's no play call for third and 12 that isn't predictably either a deep shot or you ran another bleeping screen or a run or something. This is Buckeye Boy and I were talking about this last week. We said, and he made the point very clear, because he knows Pat Shurmur from his tenure in Cleveland. The scheme works. It's the order in which the plays are called that doesn't work. And who generates that? Pat Shurmur. The order in which the plays are called is just incredibly poor. It just is.
I'll give you that, excuse me, but not last night. Last night I had no problem at all with the play calling.
I did in the first half.
It was the execution.
Well, and that brings up something else I was thinking about last night, too. The fact that, yes, okay, for me, in the first half. Second half, I'll give a little bit of a reprieve because they did go on two long, sustained touchdown drives to get them back in the game. But in the first half, I had huge problems with the play calling. Why are you calling back-to-back screens to the left on first and long and second and long? Why are you not utilizing the run game more? Why are you not utilizing bootlegs to establish the run? Why are you not letting Teddy's regular athleticism contribute to what he can do? Yeah, he's hurt, but he's still mobile. He's still playing tough. So where I will agree with you is, yes, plays need to be executed. Your team, you get a play call in. Yes, you need to execute the plays in the manner in which they are designed. But if the design is bad, if the play call does not fit the scenario that you're in, if it's a generic one-size-fits-all, week in and week out, it seems like there's nothing changed, nothing new. It's like Madden. I said this to a friend of mine the other day. I said, this is like Pat Shurmur's offense is like you just got the plays from Madden, but like a bootlegged knockoff version of Madden. And you're running the same ones over and over again. There's nothing unique. There's nothing creative about this offense. Pat Shurmur is incapable, in my humble opinion, incapable of generating a week in and week out scheme against teams that fits their defense, that fits the scenario, that fits the situation. He just kind of has this one-size-fits-all run-run-pass-punt, run-run-pass-punt, abandon the run game after the second series. It's predictable in the worst way possible. and I hate it. It's frustrating. We're running a little behind. We got to take a break here. Coming up on the other side of the break, we will preview some college football. We'll also preview some of the other NFL action coming up this weekend. This is a practice squad edition of the Jim Davis Show on the Team Sports Network. First, though, since the Broncos don't play this Sunday, why not go on out and just watch good old-fashioned football with some delicious food at 357 Bar and Grill in Palisade or at 357 Reloaded in the Peachtree Shopping Center in Clifton? I'll tell you why. The food, phenomenal. Lots of great wing choices to choose from. Here's some of the wing sauces they got. They got all the way up, very hot. You got your hot habanero, hot buffalo, a peach habanero. That sounds good. All the way down to kind of the more soft sauces for guys like me. Honey mustard, barbecue, teriyaki, garlic parmesan. Lots of great wing flavors to choose from. Or you can try one of their fantastic burgers and sandwiches. I love this one, the Palisade Pig. It's a burger with pulled pork and ham and bacon. Shut up.
Calling all carnivores.
Exactly. So, lots of TVs, NFL Sunday Ticket. You can watch all the games. You don't have to even have a rooting interest in them because, you know, Broncos already played last night. You can just watch some good football and eat some great food. 357 Bar and Grill, 235 Main Street in Palisade, or at 357 Reloaded in the Peachtree Shopping Center in Clifton. It's 357 Bar and Grill and 357 Reloaded.
Touchdown every morning.
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado's sports leader, The Team.
Welcome back.
All right.
8:30, welcome. Yeah. Welcome in or welcome back to the Jim Davis Show. Practice squad edition. Cake in the driver's seat and Buffalo Mark in the sidecar. Buffalo Mark adjusting to a mood lighting over there.
Indeed. Doing a little Venus flytrap over here. Turn the lights down.
Do I want to know what that is?
Yeah, Venus flytrap was the nighttime DJ on the old WKRP.
Oh. Okay.
Since they won't allow me to...
I thought it was a something else.
No, they won't allow me to bring candles in, so I just got to drop the lights.
Fair enough. By the way, on the subject of things that I thought were one thing and not something else.
Right.
Do you remember when you and I were doing the show and I didn't know what the Mendoza line was?
Yes.
And how I thought it was like a, you know, because I thought it had something to do with hitting a guy below the belt.
Right. Which makes perfect sense.
It does. I mean, you know, you think you don't hit below the Mendoza line. I thought it meant don't hit a guy.
Yeah.
You know. Now I know. I mean, I've known since probably, I'm going to be honest, probably since JUCO was when I kind of realized, oh no, that just means a 200 batting average. Not good.
Right.
But now I know. So now we have that now worked out years later.
Right.
Excuse me. All right. NFL this week and some college football going on as well. On the docket for Sunday on the Team Sports Network, Westwood One and coverage of some good and some not so good, if I'm just being honest. I mean, the coverage is going to be great. Westwood One, they're pros. Whether or not the actual games are good, that's remains to be seen.
I could listen to Kevin Harlan describe somebody making breakfast.
Kevin Harlan can read the phone book.
Right, right.
And he would, and I would be like, I'm in. I'm right. Sold.
I'm good.
So to lead things off, starting at 10:30 Sunday morning, the Chiefs at the Titans. I think that one is going to be a real good game.
That's
that
a game one, of the week.
That one week. Is one of the picks we have. We have our Pile Pigskin Pick'ems coming up at 9:20 this morning. And by the way, go to our website, theteam1340.com, to enter your picks. See if you can beat ours. Get yourself in for some of the grand prizing. But Sunday morning, we'll have starting.
Is that a phrase? Grand prizing?
Probably.
Probably.
Or I just made it up.
Okay, let's go with that. That'll work. Grand prizing.
Anywho, Mr. Grammar Police.
Oh, shush.
Kansas City at Tennessee, 10:30 in the morning. That's the pregame for that one, starting here on the team. And then the Eagles at the Raiders, about 1:45. That one will start coverage. And then it's Sunday night football, Indianapolis Colts at the San Francisco 49ers, a game that I don't know. That one could be interesting.
Right.
I don't know. That one's one of our picks this week, I think. Oh, by the way, I need to get you. I think I have Jim's in there already. I need to get you Rio's for our 9:27.
I made the picks for Rio. So.
Well, he gave me his last night. So.
Oh.
You're going to have to edit that, because if they're any different and he yells at me Monday, I'm going to blame you. But anywho, so. You got your full slate of Sunday NFL football here on the team. Chiefs, Titans, Eagles, Raiders, Colts, and Niners. And then Monday Night Football, Saints and Seahawks. If this was 2-3 years ago, would
right.
have been easily primetime matchup.
5-6-7 years ago.
I would have. You would
great
have
matchup.
Totally justified it to be a great Monday Night matchup this year.
Now it's Jameis Winston against Geno Smith.
How about that?
Yeah.
How about that?
Delightful.
Other games going on, and I'm just going to be honest. There are some duds. There are some duds this week. Washington football team, Green Bay Packers, and Lambeau. Green Bay is, I think, just going to run roughshod on them. Chase Young is good. He's really good.
Not so far this year, he's not.
Well,
he's quite average this year.
Well, but still, he's still one of their best players on defense.
Right.
Which isn't saying a lot, but Bengals-Ravens, that could be a sneaky good game.
If that game was in Cincinnati, I would say yeah.
Yeah.
And we'll talk to Petey later about that. But yeah.
We will, but I don't. Burrow has played lights out this year. Sure, his team does not have a good offensive line in front of him.
Right.
But they're playing. I think they're hitting a little bit above their weight class.
Well, they got a healthy Joe Mixon.
That helps. Back, so. That helps a lot. Panthers, Giants. Barf.
Well.
God almighty.
Well, some of us have Chuba Hubbard in fantasy. So we're looking
really?
For it. Yeah, well, I had to. I didn't have a choice.
Oh, okay.
All my running backs are injured.
You had McCaffrey, didn't you?
No, I did not.
Oh.
But I was smart enough to see
Saquon?
I was smart enough to see that McCaffrey was injured.
Yep.
So I grabbed Chuba Hubbard.
All right. Well, I mean, that's on you, man. I'm going to get my tuchus kicked in fantasy this week. And I don't really care. What do I care? Falcons, Dolphins, barf. Jets, Patriots. Two rookie QBs, Belichick and Robert Saleh, however you pronounce that. Apologies to head coach of the Jets for mispronouncing his name.
Saleh?
Yeah. Okay. That's going to be bad. I just don't, because I think the Patriots are an interesting team this year. Because I think they're better than what their record should be if they still had Brady. Who knows? Eagles, Raiders.
That is potential. If Jalen Hurts weren't the most boring quarterback in the NFL.
Really?
Well, he puts numbers up, but he's one of
former
those.
Former Bama product. I thought you would be a little more.
Well, no, he's an OU product. All right. He decided to go play at OU. So, yeah, he gives up his Bama card. But he's one of those guys where you look at his numbers in the middle of the fourth quarter and you're stunned that he's got those kind of numbers.
Fair. I just think the Raiders, after everything with the Gruden situation, come out and beat the Broncos. You know, maybe.
Hasn't some of the luster come off that win? if you're a Raider fan?
I don't think so. I don't think it ever will.
Okay.
If the Broncos hate the Raiders, I think the Raiders hate the Broncos just as much.
Oh, sure.
Probably, I think, if we're talking AFC West hatred hierarchy, Raiders probably hate the Chiefs the most.
Oh, yeah. That rivalry is intense.
But the Raiders also really, really do not like the Broncos. The Broncos probably hate the Raiders the most. And so the mutual hatred there is probably, yeah, I don't know if the shine or luster. I mean, yeah, sure, the way the Broncos are played, maybe the shine has come off a bit, but I just, when you win against a rival, no matter how bad the rival is, it's still a win over a rival. And then you got Lions and Rams. May God have mercy on the city of Detroit, because Matthew Stafford is going to come in there.
Like Godzilla.
It is going to be a massacre.
Right.
Real quick, checking the spread on FanDuel. And by the way, had another same game parlay for the Nuggets. That did not go well. Oh, well. Cake's degenerate gambling problem continues. Here's the spread for Rams-Lions. Would you care to guess?
8.5.
Higher.
11.
Higher.
No.
16.5.
Wow. For a home team to be a 16.5 point dog?
Home team.
Ooh.
No, sorry. Rams are the home team.
Oh, that's right. Yeah, okay.
I should make clear. Rams are the home team. L.A. is 16.5 point favorite.
Yeah.
16.5. That money line for Detroit, if you pick Detroit for the money line, yeah. God help you, it's plus 750.
The return of Jared Goff.
Yeah. The return of Jared Goff to the Rams and the return of Matthew Stafford against his old team, that, let's be honest, is probably a hollow shell of what it was the last year that he played there. He loves Detroit. He has no bad blood against Detroit.
He and his wife did a ton of charity work in that city.
They did amazing work in Detroit and charity. And again, he loves, and I think Detroit would say, yeah, we love Matthew Stafford. We're sorry that things ended the way that they did and that we were never able to get a good team around him.
Do you think Lions fans are happy for him now?
Probably not. I think when he retires, if he decides to retire as a Lion kind of ceremoniously, I think, okay, maybe they'll forgive and forget, especially if the Rams are a dark horse for the Super Bowl this year. We'll see.
How do you feel about inductees into the Hall of Fame? And this isn't any sport.
Well, I'll tell you what.
Being obligated to pick a team they want to go in and represent.
That could be a good four-down territory question.
Shouldn't just the player be honored and not his franchise as well?
Good question. Because Brian Dawkins, he was forever known and going to be known as a Philadelphia Eagle.
Right.
Just so happens that he played the last couple seasons in Denver.
Right.
So is he going into the Hall of Fame as a Bronco? God, no.
What about PFM? He won a Super Bowl.
Now, he's different.
He won a Super Bowl in two different cities.
He's different because he had probably the best season of his career in Denver.
He had the best season in league history in Denver.
Two trips to the Super Bowl, four division titles, two wins over your biggest rival, Tom Brady, in the AFC Championship at home.
But he's probably going in as a Colt.
Well, he's already in.
Yeah, yeah.
And that one didn't seem to me like there was really any competition. Now, I will say this, as we run up on a break here. It seemed to me, on the scale of who sort of presented better and who sort of made more of a show, right? It's like, this is a bad comparison. It's like The Bachelorette. Who gets the white rose? Denver showed more effort in the praise and the celebration of Peyton Manning going into the Hall of Fame. The Colts, I'm sorry, they did not shell out enough. As far as what I saw on social media, now maybe they did some tributes elsewhere. I don't know for sure. But what I saw on social media is the Colts Twitter page, when they were posting about Peyton Manning, their franchise quarterback not seen since Johnny Unitas, how they celebrate him going to the Hall of Fame is an awkward photo of him next to Tom Brady, and Peyton is clearly profusely sweating through his shirt. And the lighting is so bad that it captures the sweat all down his chest, and he's like kind of got that Manning face going, little bit of a stare off, and Brady's got this weird look on his face, and that's what you went with to celebrate your franchise quarterback going into the Hall of Fame? Compare that to Denver. Tributes. Best of all time. Congratulations. Video. I'm just saying, I think there's a reason Manning never moved back to Indianapolis once his career was over. Not just because Colorado is a great state to live in, but I think he likes Denver a little bit better. I don't know. I don't know the man personally, but that'd be my take. 8:45, we'll take a break, and on the other side, four down territory and more. This is the Jim Davis Show. Call or text us on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. Practice squad edition of the Jim Davis Show continues next on the Team Sports Network.
Who do I listen to?
The Jim Davis Show on Colorado Sports Leader.
Whoever suggested that has got to be smoking crack and plenty of it.
Whoa.
The Team.
This is the clean version, right? Welcome back to the Jim Davis Show. Just had to be careful. Just right. Had to double check. Welcome back to the Jim Davis Show. Practice squad edition on the Team Sports Network. It is Cake in the driver's seat, Buffalo Mark in the sidecar, trying to forget the Broncos loss last night. If you got any thoughts on the game last night, hit us up on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. I was going to do Where in the World is Tyler Franson. You know where I was yesterday? I was on my couch wallowing in self-misery over how bad the Broncos played yesterday. That's where I was. So, how you will earn either Qdoba or Fat Tire today is by contributing on the text line. We got some great texts this morning. We'd love to hear from you on the Chick-fil-A Breakfast Team phone line, 970-242-1340. We'll pick a couple of texters by the end of the show for best texts who will either receive a case of New Belgium Brewery Fat Tire from High Country Beverage or Qdoba today. Let us now dive into four down territory.
We're into four down territory on the Jim Davis Show on the Team.
A little loud. That's on me. I had my headphones up. All right, first down. I don't know if you saw a video last night of Justin Simmons absolutely smashing a poor photographer on the sideline. Credit and kudos to the photographer. As a former mass comm student, she kept the camera stable. Protect the camera at all costs. Listen, this is what I learned doing Grand Junction Rockies baseball camera coverage. You sacrifice life and limb because that camera is 10 grand and it is coming right out of your paycheck.
That's right. AV Club forever.
AV Club forever. So, hopefully she'll be okay. Second down. This is from Andrew Mason. These are the Broncos' last five records after seven games. I'm going to read them off to you, and I want you to notice a theme. 2017, 3-4. 2018, 3-4. 2019, 2-5. 2020, 3-4. 2021, 3-4.
Right.
And who says this team is not consistent?
Well,
come on. Come on. What do you have?
All right.
Third and fourth down.
Third down. Excuse me. USC and number 13, Notre Dame this Saturday from the South Bend. This game used to be one of the
huge.
A huge game. Does anybody care anymore?
I don't.
Does anybody care about that game anymore? Right. All right. Fourth down. Minnesota Wild. 2 years ago, everybody thought they were going to be terrible for years. You know what? They're undefeated so far this year. And GM Bill Guerin deserves some serious, serious accolades for that rebuild up in Minneapolis.
Can't argue with that?
Nope.
All right. Well done, us. Four down territory. Got a few minutes left here. Let's go ahead and take a look. You can go and kill the music, by the way. Because we got through four down territory. In lightning speed, I might say.
Right. No huddle, four down territory.
Exactly. Other college football games want to briefly mention. We'll have our picks coming up at 9:20 this morning. You had SMU and Tulane doing battle, and that was last night, and SMU smoke them, 55-26. Number two, Cincinnati's taking on Navy tomorrow. I'm sorry, midshipmen, but that is going to be a It's not going to end well for you, I'm sorry.
Right.
Number seven, Penn State is hosting Illinois. That one's not going to be much better. Number six, Michigan hosting Northwestern. Number three, Oklahoma at Kansas. Does Spencer Rattler start at QB ever again for the Oklahoma City?
No.
Or Oklahoma Sooners?
No, he doesn't. I agree.
Let's see. Coming up also tomorrow, Wake Forest, Army.
I am a Wake Forest fan. I love the way that team plays. They get after it.
See, I'm an Army guy.
Right.
Because, you know, mi padre, Operation Desert Storm, Tyler Franson drinking game, take a shot every time he mentions his family. Wisconsin at Purdue, Clemson, Pittsburgh, LSU, Ole Miss.
Clemson better be careful in that game. Pittsburgh is playing great ball right now.
They're 23rd in the nation.
Right.
Pitt's 23rd in the nation. LSU, Ole Miss, God, Ed Orgeron. What a fall from grace.
Just like Gene Chizik at Auburn.
What a fall. This is another one. So, a couple of the games we'll pick in college. This is one of them. Sorry, spoilers. This is a Pac-12 game that could have some interesting consequences. UCLA hosting number 10 Oregon Ducks.
And somehow UCLA is favored.
Somehow, some way. We'll find out tomorrow if that holds true or not. Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Tennessee, Bama. Tide's going to smoke them. I'm sorry.
Third Saturday in October every year.
Every year. We got about 90 seconds here before we go to break. We got San Diego State Air Force.
That might be the game of the year in the Mountain West.
That could be. Texas, San Antonio, Louisiana Tech, Ohio State, Indiana, NC State, Miami, USC, Notre Dame, and South Carolina, Texas A&M. Those will wrap up the top 25 matchups for tomorrow. Yeah, there's promise in some, and then there's others where you just go and this is, I think, how it usually happens. You get into these conference games where one team is clearly leaps and bounds above the rest of the conference,
right?
But you still got to play. Bama's still got to play Tennessee. Indiana's still got to play Ohio State. We will see, but there are some good games and some not so good. We'll have a couple of picks for our pile picks and pick'ems coming up at 9:20. At next hour, we will hear from Colorado Mesa head coach Tremaine Jackson. That will be coming up in just a few moments. This is the Jim Davis Show Practice Squad Edition. Cake and Buffalo Mark here on Colorado Sports, Lead of the Team. Streaming online all the time at theteam1340.com.